Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and good afternoon to all my devoted moms out there. Thank you for joining us today, Thursday, December 6th. Thank you for showing up, guys. This is Tasha, and Regina will be joining us shortly. And I just want to thank you for continuing to listen to us every week. I'm continually humbled and in awe of this great opportunity, and I'm just thankful for you all joining us. So thank you, thank you. If you want to call in, feel free to call in at 347-215-6138. You can always join us on Facebook at Devoted Moms, and you can also join us on Twitter at Tasha and Regina. So today is going to be a great show. We've been looking forward to actually doing this topic, and will probably be a topic that we'll do a few times throughout the year. But today is Phenomenal Fathers, and we want to honor some of the fathers out there who stand behind these great devoted moms. You know, I know in my life personally, I couldn't be as devoted to my kids as I'd like to be if I didn't have such a phenomenal husband and father who supported me. So we want to highlight those phenomenal dads today. And we have a lot of phenomenal dads who are in different situations, who have become fathers under different circumstances. And so we thought it would be nice to highlight some of those fathers that Regina and I know personally. Also, if you're a phenomenal father, you're listening out there right now, or if you're a devoted mom who knows a phenomenal father, and if they'd like to call in and share their story on how they became a dad and, you know, what is it about them that makes them a phenomenal father, I'd love to hear your story. So, again, you can call in at 347-215-6138. Again, that's 347-215-6138. I actually wanted to start off telling this story that I've learned a little bit about today. It's kind of a sad story for all that are involved, but I thought it really did speak to the topic of phenomenal fathers. But there's this family in Utah, an adoptive family in Utah, who adopted a child about 2 years ago, and apparently all the paperwork was not signed correctly. And the father is in the military, and he was deployed, I believe, when the baby was born and put up for adoption. He did not know that his baby was put up for adoption. And so in the last about 19 months now, he's been fighting to get his daughter back. And that, for me, speaks to the epitome of what a phenomenal father is, that he has not backed down and that he's continued to search for this little girl and wanting to have her in his life and to be the main person in her life. And she'll always know that her dad was a phenomenal father because he never gave up. And the last judgment that came down is that his daughter will be given back to him. The adoptive family has 60 days to return the child to him. And I say that this is a tragic story for all involved because the adoptive parents have raised her like their own for almost 2 years. And I can't imagine the devastation that they're feeling at this time of having to give up a child that they thought, for all intents and purposes, was going to be in their family, you know, for the rest of their life. So there's just a lot of hurt feelings and confusion and anger going on right now, I can only imagine. But I do want to highlight that I believe this is a phenomenal father for him standing by his daughter and really trying to fight to get her. So when you get a chance, if you want to go online and just Google the last name Achane, A-C-H-A-N-E, if you want to read about the story and just, you know, see how it touches your heart. Gail, have you heard that story, Sylvia, yet?
I have not. What's the, tell me again where to Google?
Google the last name Achan, A-C-H-A-N-E. That's his last name. I believe Terry is his first name.
Yeah, I see a picture here. A married man's adoption horror continues as adoptive family of child. His wife gave up, are fighting his court to win, to have his daughter return. This is absolutely a tragedy for everyone.
It really
is. There is good news in this, the way that you just presented it. I mean, the fact that this father would search, you know, for and fight for his daughter, you know, what a phenomenal father, you know. But then the ache of having a child, you know, that you bonded with and that bonded with you for 2 years. And, you know, for the adoptive family, you know, that they that journey didn't begin the moment she arrived in their home. She had been a part of their great heart strings and anticipation for probably months and years leading up to that adoption.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking at A-C-H-A-N-E, and Terry Achan is the natural father. There's so many incredible stories around the world of men who are wonderful fathers, and even, you know, with single moms, you know, that have wonderful relationships with dads who want to be a part of their children's lives, even if those relationships may not have worked out in the marriage. You know, phenomenal men need to be a part of a child's life in order to help them be well-rounded, phenomenal children, you know, as well. So this is a very exciting topic, again, on Devoted Moms.
Yes, I agree. If you want to call in, if you are a devoted mom and would like to highlight your spouse or maybe your father or just a phenomenal father that you know in your life, feel free to call in right now at 347-215-6138. Again, that's 347-215-6138. We would love to hear your story. And Sylvie, you brought up a good point about sometimes when the relationship doesn't work out with the two parents, how it's so important for the child to have both parents still, you know, be involved in their life. And I've seen even in some of my friendships how divorce can just be so ugly and the relationship between the father and the child is not honored as well as it is the mother and the child. And sometimes I definitely feel, well, I should say every time, I definitely feel for the child in that situation when they're caught up in the middle and almost felt like, who am I supposed to love or who am I supposed to live with or, you know, who am I supposed to side with, when they shouldn't have to feel that at all.
Yeah, because in those situations, whenever, you know, we speak negatively about one parent to the child, then we're speaking negatively to a part of ourselves, you know, that's within that child. And our, you know, the parts of our being that are not acceptable to the parent, you know, and how important our words are and how tragic and devastating the long-term impact of those words can be on the child. You know, Tasha, you have some other callers here. Regina, are you here with us?
Hello. I apologize for a little bit of a delay. Hello to everyone. Tasha, I didn't get our prep call. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I prayed for the both of us.
Yeah, we prayed for you. Thank you. One great thing about doing life with you, Tasha, is I know that you got it.
Well, you called in right at the right time because Sylvia said we actually have our first question.
Awesome.
Another caller on right now, and I think that this may be one of the phenomenal fathers. Is this Kenny? Okay, maybe not. Stand by. Go ahead and continue the conversation. I'm going to perform my engineering responsibilities.
All right, Sylvia.
Hi,
hey,
Sylvia.
Darling.
I also wanted to say greetings to you. Well, you know, I heard just a glimpse as I was trying to get technology to work for me. you know, I am really glad that we are going to honor and raise up the phenomenal fathers that we've gotten to know you in a very personal way with Kenny, but also
are you still there, Regina? I think we lost you. Might be having some technical difficulties right now, which, you know, that happens. So we're going to have some of our guests call in shortly. And these are, we have two men, two fathers that are calling in. One coming from a divorce situation. He's a single father now and has just had to raise up as a phenomenal single father. And he's just going to talk a little bit about how it's been with his journey as a father. And then we are going to talk to my phenomenal husband, who is the father of three children, married father of three children, and just some of the ways that, you know, and some of the things that he's gone through with his journey as a father. So looking forward to speaking to both of them today. Regina, are you back with us?
I am. I'm here.
Yay.
I'm here. I would be remiss if I did not say that there is a phenomenal father that we all have that I am sitting in a place where God is touching me with sunshine. And so I just want to say that, you know, when all those different dynamics of fathers, being a father happen, that we, that I personally believe that we do have a heavenly father. And that the love and the unconditional devotion to his children is a great example from every father that I have ever interacted with, including the father who reared me. So I want to give a shout out for my own dad who showed me unconditional love, and also you know, just what I expect from, or what I hope that my children will be able to experience. And so, you know, Lauren Sims, I love you. and for you, you know, Mr. Jimmy also had a birthday this week. So, you know, shout outs for your father, Tasha.
Yes.
They didn't make it hard. They made it hard. they raised the bar. The bar is very high. It didn't make it hard, but it made us realize the just, you know, what it looks like for a male to be such a part of creating two daughters who are now doing the things that we're doing.
Right.
So, big shout out to. It does look like we have a caller on.
Yes, I think we might have our guests on hold as well as possibly a caller calling in to ask a question. So, if we do have a caller, if you want to go ahead and state your name, are you there? Maybe, maybe not. Caller?
Hey, Tasha, this is Kenny. I'm on. I'm not sure if you're ready for me or not.
We're always ready for you, honey. That's
oh,
my husband, everybody.
Hey, Special K, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Ladies, how are you all doing?
Good, good. Kenny, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us you know, your experience and your insight, because I admire you as a father, a male, and just an incredible friend tremendously. So I'm glad to get to talk to you.
Oh, thank you for the kind words. I'm taping this, so I'm going to play that back over and over in the loop.
That's fine with me. You have evidence. And I understand that, is Carlos also on the line with us? Carlos? Well, maybe not. Maybe we just have Kenny, Kenny right now. So, Kenny, phenomenal father. How?
Oh, yeah.
How? What? You know, you have learned to be a father for so long, in such a different kind of way. Can you tell us a little bit how you became a father?
Sure. Yeah, and it was a little bit of a different kind of way. I met my beautiful bride, Tasha. We were actually good friends in college, and we didn't start dating until afterward. But by that time, she had had a little girl named Jordan. And I met Jordan when she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we still weren't dating or anything of that nature. But just over the course of the year or two after Jordan was born, Tasha and I started dating, become a lot more. Absolutely fell in love with that little girl.
Mm. And then her mother was okay too, right?
Say it again.
And her mother was okay too.
Her mom was fantastic, but I can honestly say that I absolutely fell in love with that little girl. And it was funny because she did not like me at first.
she gave him a hard time.
Man, maybe that played a part in it because she would look at me sideways. She made a brother work for every single bit of love and affection that I received from her. And so that's how was my foray into fatherhood was being able to actually grow to love a young girl that was already here. And so fell in love with the young lady. I eventually adopted her, and she's my daughter. She is my daughter. And then after that, we had a second one, and then 6 years later, had our third. So I've been doing this fatherhood stuff for now for about 12 years. And the funny part about it, Regina, is that every day is different, you know. I know I'm learning each and every day how to become better as a father. And it's also evolving, too. Like, you know, what I'm doing right now with my youngest, who just turned one, you know, I'm a lot more active in terms of being on the floor and playing with her a lot more, et cetera, because she's way more active than any of my other kids were.
Mm. And also I'm having a tsunami, right?
Tsunami, exactly.
She's tsunami.
And with the oldest, because she's almost a teen, you know, I'm actually having to be a lot more, I don't know the best way to put it, but cognizant and aware of, you know, of things I say and do and treat her mother. Because I know that she, in essence, will be trying to find someone like her father.
Right.
When she gets of age and starts dating, et cetera. And also being actually a lot more on purpose in terms of talking to her about boys, which actually is a repulsing thought in my mind.
You know what, Kenny, there's something that I know that an activity that you do with Jordan, like you said, you're very purposeful. And it's interesting, we always think that moms, you know, are the ones who are doing this kind of planning and execution and strategizing. But, Kenny, one of the things I know that you do is that you date your daughter.
Right.
And so that it's true, the first impression that she will always be able to say the first person or the first man who loved her is you. And that,
right.
You know, you have created these standards. Even though it will be a knucklehead involved somewhere at some point in time, but that knucklehead influence, I think, is going to be reduced because...
Right. And don't count out the knuckleheads because I was once a knucklehead. So we all broke. But there's certain things
that you look for. As a term of endearment, no doubt.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean,
someone,
I think it's very important.
Someone's
son. For Jordan, since she was our oldest, you know, now she has two little ones behind her. So she had the house basically to herself for 6 years.
Right.
So she was the apple of everyone's eye, et cetera. So we have to definitely make sure that, you know, that she understands that just because there are others that follow behind her, that her importance in our family has not diminished. So we have to make sure that we take time to actually, you know, spend time with her alone. And I don't do that by myself. My wife does a great job of that as well, spending time with her.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, at certain times, especially with just the, you know, everything in life happening, everything in your family is actually expanding and growing, that you do have to be more on purpose and actually write these things down to make it happen.
Right. Well, what would you say is your greatest influence on your fathering?
I'll tell you what. I have been blessed beyond belief in terms of my family life growing up. I have the absolute perfect role model and example of what a father should be.
Right, Mr.
In my
father.
So it's funny because we could not be more different in the sense of
right.
how we parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a principal, and he is basically mm-hmm. everything you would think of as a principal in terms
he
of.
He was my elementary school principal.
Yeah, he was.
How small the world is. My best friend
so
married. Yeah,
yep,
how
so
funny
strict,
is the world?
He was a, you know, he was stern and all of that. I don't remember ever Pops, you know, getting on the floor playing with us. Or, you know,
uh-huh,
I can count
uh-huh.
a handful of times that he went outside, played basketball with us, et cetera. But I knew every time that there was anything that was needed or if anybody, if I needed someone to have my back to this day, that he would be first in line. And, I mean, that speaks volumes, even though it's unspoken.
Hey, Kenny, I got a quick question. We've got a question from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yep.
And they'd like to ask you the best advice that you can give to a mother who's challenged by their husbands, but they are fathers who love their children. So it seems like perhaps it is a mother who is having some challenges, but you know it's clear that the husbands love their children. Could you give her some words of encouragement or even advice on how to support and develop that?
Great question. And I might not be the 100% best answer because my situation is different, but I would think the most important part is just to let him be a part of that kid's life and whatever that means in the sense of be supportive with him. Fatherhood is something that is a learned behavior. It's not innate where we just know exactly what to do. Some things
mm-hmm.
we might falter with at the beginning. Some things
mm-hmm.
we might absolutely stink at first, like
mm-hmm.
communicating and conversing and being comfortable around your kid. But, I mean, the more time you spend with them, the bigger and wider your heart grows for them, the more you will become better at this job. Basically, it's a job. And it's way more difficult than any job that you put a resume in for because it's totally different each day and it's something way more precious than a job that you're actually trying to raise. So I think the biggest thing is just to let him grow in this role.
Right.
He might not be the perfect father or whatever it is today, but 5, 6, 7 years down the line, when it's
mm-hmm.
equally and maybe more so more important, he'll be that person that you've always wanted him to be in that kid's life. So I think that's
well,
the biggest
and,
thing.
And that child benefits from whatever, you know, however that
exactly.
evolves. You know,
exactly.
like is there a right or wrong? It might, I know that sometimes as mothers we want, you know, fathers to do things a certain sort of way. Well, I wouldn't really do it like that. And I think one of the things I really had to do is to lessen my need to control how it's being done.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, if the hair is all over the head, you know, did you try?
mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing.
Would I be doing candy magic at, you know, 9 o'clock at night when bedtime's 8:30?
Right.
But it really is. I think that, you know, as a mom, I know that I had to allow for my girl's father to be, you know, I always knew he would be an incredible father, and I do hope that he's listening in. If not, I want to give him a shout out. Because it is hard for us as women and mothers, you know, we know the right way to do things. And I think sometimes it decreases the capacity of, or it decreases the chance of someone, you know, of a father stepping up in a way,
right.
in a more active way.
Correct. I mean, it gives them more responsibility and they take more ownership in it. Because if somebody is always correcting them, at some point,
mm-hmm.
you're going to just stop trying. You know the right way, you go ahead and do it, almost.
Thank
you. As childish
you.
As that might be, I mean, that's the reality of it.
Thank you.
So
Thank
you have
you
to let people grow in their role.
Yeah.
I think
that one of the things Tasha and I wanted to accomplish with the show is to really dig and allow for you to say things to moms who are completely, you know, are very devoted to their children and families. But we just may not know. So thanks for saying, thanks for saying that. Are there other pieces of advice or, Tasha, can you mute right quick so that you don't say, oh, I thought I did that. so that we can create some aha moments for our mothers that are listening out there.
Well, I guess that's a big one, just kind of letting him learn and growing his role. Tasha has always been spectacular at that. Of course, at the very beginning, he had to make sure that I would, be mindful and be careful and, wouldn't put our child in harm's way or anything like that. But after those major obstacles, were cleared, she knew I had Jordan's best interests at heart. And there would be some things that, today, for example, last night we went out and we had a cheerleading event, so we had to go and watch that. And my head still hurts, but after we went and got some food, and, the kids, it was like 9 o'clock or something. Our kids go to sleep like 8 and 9 o'clock respectively, but they're eating ice cream sandwiches. I thought absolutely nothing of this. She was appalled by this whole notion that they were eating ice cream sandwiches at 9 o'clock p.m. So I guess that's just subtle differences. That's really a minute point, but. It's some things that, just let them be. It's that them having that ice cream sandwich is not going to affect them in the morning whatsoever. And in the grand scheme of things, in terms of growth and preparation in life, it's not going to harm them. So what you might think of as silly,
yes,
that those are times that might be growing times and times that that father and that kid are growing together that fall outside of the norm and helps that relationship grow.
Well, I call it a memory-making moment.
All
remember, it's you made a memory.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll be telling their kids, I can remember, it was my sister's cheerleading thing, and shoot, my dad let us have ice cream after. My mom was, about to have a fit, but, those are the sorts of things that, I can remember my dad making spaghetti for us and not realizing we didn't have spaghetti sauce, so he used ketchup.
Right.
And my mother, when she heard that, was like, are you kidding me?
Right.
And it was the best spaghetti I think I've ever
And it was just how you made it. Yep. And now you talk about stuff that you remember. I remember when I was 8 years old, so this was several decades ago now, I was playing basketball, and again, like I said, my pops didn't come outside and play sports with us much, but he came out there one time, and we played one-on-one basketball. Now I just remember how dude was out there cheating, right? Because I know in his mind he was like, there's no way on earth this dude, I'm going to let this little guy beat me. So he was out there cheating. I remember he wouldn't take the ball back after it hit the rim and all that kind of stuff. He went straight back up. And I was amazed at that, but it's 30 years later, and well, I guess bad part of it, I remember him cheating. But the second part was, I remember him actually spending time out there.
Let's glean out the lesson there.
Yeah, the bad part about it was he's cheating, and I tell it to his face today. But anyway, the real part about that was that he spent time out there with me.
Right.
And, we had a ball.
So we were
laughing. We were talking junk to one another. It was banter back and forth. His junk was a little more aggressive than mine because I knew my limits.
Right.
but it's a memory that was made, like I said, and I remember 30 years, and it was 30 years ago. And it's funny that those memories don't have to be big. So if anything, I could tell the lady that asked the question earlier is that one thing I want to stress to men is that everything does not have to be big for it to be memorable. I think we get caught up in a lot of times in having to spend X amount of money or go and do this and do that, and it's this big to do, and you just spent basically a half a paycheck doing so.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't require that. They will remember going to the movies. They will remember going out to a park with their dad and pushing on a swing set. Little things like that, they remember and mean much more than spending apples of dollars to get that memory.
Right. That's powerful. That's something, I really do hope that the moms that are listening out there, and we encourage for you to, call in and let us know if there's a, if you've got a question that you know, maybe you're trying to strategize on how to get your husband or your children's father more involved and more active. You know, let's use the brain trust that we have here with Kenny, and I think it's how to do it. See where we've got our next our additional guest is on the line.
Yeah, I think we do. Carlos, are you there?
Hey, ladies, how goes it?
It goes well, Carlos. How are you?
I'm blessed today. I'm blessed. How about you guys?
Good. Hey, Carlos,
fantastic.
I'm glad to hear you.
Thanks for having me on today.
Well,
awesome topic.
Thank you for having us on. I mean, when we started planning show topics a few months ago, we knew that Phenomenal Fathers was going to be one of our topics that we would probably discuss a couple times a year. And you and Kenny were definitely at the top of the list when we thought of, you know, phenomenal fathers that we knew in our circle and in our life. So I appreciate you being able to join us today.
Again, thank you for the invitation. I feel honored and humbled, first of all, to be identified as a phenomenal father. That's furthest thing from my mind when I started this process a long time ago. You know? That's where I was moved to. Yes.
That's a great feed into how did you, Kenny shared a little bit early, I don't know if you got a chance to listen in, about how his process for becoming a father. What did yours look like?
Oh, well, I'm the oldest of eight, so I have seven siblings, three brothers and four sisters, although we lost my one brother about 3 years ago. And so I've had the pleasure for years of being Uncle Carlos. And then I'm a firm believer in, this is just my opinion, that men have a biological clock also. And so I was approaching my 50th birthday and was still not a father and just didn't think it was in the cards for me. And I remember having this long discussion, argument with God about why he hadn't allowed me or blessed me to be a father. And you know what they say about you want to make God laugh, you make plans. And so I'm 2 weeks shy of graduating with my master's, and I get the news that I'm going to be a first-time dad at 51 years old.
Wow.
So that's my story.
Well, you know, you beat Abraham. You beat Abraham out. I mean, you know, Abraham was, what, 100?
Oh, thank you very much.
That was just wrong, Carlos. I'm not going to co-sign on that one.
Well, that's all right. You know, God did some amazing things to people in the Bible, including Abraham. So if he touches me in the same light, I would feel truly blessed. I feel honored to have this young man, because I have a son, Antonio Clay Hardy, in my life.
Yes,
and he teaches me something new every single day.
Right.
Every day.
Well, can you talk a little bit, you know, you said you were 51 when you became a father. Can you talk about maybe some of the challenges that you have faced starting fatherhood maybe, you know, a little bit later than some other men have?
Well, you know, even though I started late, Tasha, I'm not sure, and I say this because it might help somebody else out there that's struggling, is that I'm not really proud of my first response when I found out that I was going to be a father. And fear took over, and I was like, no way. And then it was my process of, well, if you go to the barbershop enough, eventually you're going to get a haircut. And then my upbringing kicked in, my grandmother and the way I was raised and my family. And I knew I was going to do the right thing. And so that entailed a marriage, attending every OBGYN appointment, taking an off.
No, I was saying ding, ding, good for you, good one.
giving up an office that I had become attached to through my 2.5 years of getting my master's and actually turning that into my son's nursery, which was really a joy, picking out the paint and painting and putting the little things up that you do when you're expecting a new one, to actually being in the delivery room. He was a planned cesarean, so I was real clear that I wasn't going to look on that side of the cover. But I asked the doctor, as soon as she delivered him, she held him up in the air. And first of all, I was just amazed at how blue he was. That's the first thing.
And that was she handed them off. Have such interesting first reactions.
You know what? And like she handed them off to the attendants, and they took them over to the birthing table, and then they started working on them. And the whole time, I'm clicking pictures. Mm-hmm. And to watch him, I call it pink up, you know, where life
right.
comes in his body. It was just an awesome experience. It could only be God. Only.
Mm-hmm. Only. I agree.
A definite God story.
So we actually have a question from a caller in Las Vegas, and maybe you can speak to this, Carlos. He says, I don't know my father, but I desire to be a phenomenal father. And we have a son arriving in 2 months, and I'm 51. Any advice?
Yeah, because my story is somewhat similar in that I didn't know my biological father for quite a few years. And so there was a male figure, my stepfather, that raised me. It wasn't the ideal environment. But I would just tell the caller that one of the things I realized is that I had the opportunity with the birth of my son to break the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that I felt like I missed growing up, I had an opportunity to do over again. There was some physical abuse, and that was very early on. I realized and made a decision that I was not going to subject my son to the same thing. And I would just suggest to the brother that you surround yourself with a support system. Interestingly enough, mine happens to be female, majority. But I have talked to some fathers that are parenting single parents, and we have actually talked about forming a support group. I mean, things like, you know, your child is crying all night and you want to run to the emergency room, and it's something simple as they're cutting a tooth, you know, or just little things. The first time they fall down and have a boo-boo, the first time they have an elevated temperature, my God, what do I do? There was actually a real good book that somebody had recommended, like the first year of your child's life. That was phenomenal, and I can't tell you the number of times that I opened up that book and the relief that it gave me because what was happening was supposed to be happening. So I would just tell the caller, you know, so educate yourself as much as you can about newborns, and then also pray to God for some patience.
Patience, huh? Yes.
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 Especially when you want to sleep all night and they're determined that they're going to keep you up.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
Well, Carlos, you know, as we were talking and I was inviting you to come on today to the show to share your experience, you know, something came through that I think would be also helpful to our listener in Las Vegas. You have always been humble enough to ask questions and seek out so that you could could influence your son differently than maybe how your father experience being fathered was. And so you're intentional of, you know, taking in different information. I'll just, you know, say that, you know, Carlos and I do a lot of memory building with our kids. He shares Antonia with me, and I'm tremendously grateful to God for that. But, you know, in just being very purposeful about how you discipline, you know, I know that you think a lot about that before you just respond.
Yes.
And, you know, could you maybe talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, it was really a process for me to be willing to ask for help because I didn't necessarily think that I knew it all. It's just it's not in my DNA to ask for help. The story of my life was I made a decision early on to go left instead of right, and because I was grown, I think we had talked earlier about I left my parents' house when I was 17 years old and have not been back to this day. And so when it came to my son and learning to be a single parent, because unfortunately his mom and I didn't make it, I tried to do it on my own. But I was so afraid that I was going to cause some harm that I knew that I needed to ask for help and I need to be humble and ask for help. And even when I got it, sometimes I wanted to buck. And, you know, yeah, you say this, but I still say it's this. But ultimately, you know, I choose to associate with folks that have walked the path that I'm now walking and that can help. I don't have to maybe make mistakes that a lot of other folks made. And then, you know, it's a little different for a single dad than it is for a single mom. I still think there's a paternal instinct that's there because my son and I are so in tune. And I've got to believe that, that God gave men some like I said, paternal instinct as well. But there, I had more experience at being Carlos running on self-will than I had in asking for help. But once I did, things got a little easier. And the next time I had to go, it wasn't an ask for help. It wasn't as hard the second time and the third time. What I had to worry about and I struggle with is the feeling that somebody else is raising my child because they're telling me all the things to do and not to do. And, you know, but I'm done it, man. You know, nothing wrong with asking for help.
Great. Listen, we have a caller, or we have a question from Anchorage, Alaska. I love that, you know, we're getting folks who are listening to us from all over the world.
Anchorage,
isn't that awesome? Yeah, so over in Alaska, apparently someone's a devoted mom asked her husband to listen to this show, and he said that he travels a lot. And I know, Kenny, your job entails a good bit of a travel and being away. Carlos, you have your son every other week.
Yes.
So you're also away from him quite a bit. So the question is, how would Kenny and Carlos handle being absentee father who is being a responsible provider but is absent so much?
That's a tough one. Yeah, I'm here. That's a tough one, and it's one, again, that you definitely have to be on purpose. And technology, I think, has made that process a lot easier. When I first started, and I was doing quite a bit of traveling, there wasn't a Skype. There wasn't a FaceTime. So we were just going by on phone calls, and I was talking to them, you know, over the phone. I wasn't going all that much. I was going twice a week. But, you know, for my kid, especially as a baby, 1, 2 years old, that's hard, you know, and his father's not there to put him in sleep or whatever the case may be. What I would suggest is to just to be on purpose in terms of talking to that, making sure that father is talking to that child each night and telling them, you know, asking them about their day, just doing things that they would normally do, but, you know, it's, unfortunately they're not there to do it in person, but they're having to do it over the phone. But technology has made that so much easier. I know my kids actually love when I'm not there at times, so they can do this Skype and this FaceTime. Shameful, but true.
They do. Well, you know, in this FaceTime, if you got an iPhone, there's FaceTime.
My wife got her new iPhone and we did this FaceTime the other day, I mean, they had the best time. Now, they were talking about my head was huge the entire time, but it was just stuff that we were doing that allowed me to connect to, with them, even though I was not present to be there. You know what I mean? So it's just
I would also say your children appreciate you making that effort, too.
Definitely. Because they understand it's the job taking me away and not necessarily I'm, you know, trying not to be there. At least I hope they have that understanding. And, you know, and I tell them I'm going to miss them. And I see it in their face. They're not happy when I'm traveling and stuff. But it's something that's necessary. But I want them to know that they are absolutely number one in my life. And wherever I am, I make time to get out. I will leave a meeting if it's an evening meeting and call them and Skype them or whatever the case may be to make sure that I say my goodnights to them, ask them about their day, and they know their father is thinking about them even when he's not there.
That's powerful. Carlos, do you have a quick answer? Because we actually have another question behind this one.
Well, you know what? You just try to be a whole dad, and it's kind of hard to parent in extension. You can take care of your financial responsibilities, but there's something about being in your child's life, active in your child's life. You know, there's just some things that, in my case, my son is going to learn from me. And there's a lot of things that I'm learning from him as well. So I just think you need to be there. Up until recently, every time I told my son I was going out of town, it was a major meltdown. And he's gotten a little better with it now. But now I'm not so good with it. I'm only good for about 2 or 3 days, and I have got to get back. And in the process, while I am awake, he has to call me. You know, so I just believe, and I'm just blessed that I'm able to be in his life on a constant basis. So, you know, so that would be my short answer.
That's good. Well, we do have another listener, and this question is again for Kenny and or Carlos. He's saying that he wants to marry the mother of his two children, but she avoids the commitment. Your thoughts?
You know what, Kenny? Caller, I just remember when I had gotten married, this was my second marriage, and I really thought that this one was going to last, and unfortunately it didn't. And if I had any hindsight or I had any regrets, I wish I had taken serious when she said she wanted to go to counseling. Now, I did, and we did go to counseling, but interestingly enough, she chose a Christian counselor, and so when we went and we had an initial session, at the end of the session, the counselor says, well, now I'm going to pray to God, and he'll tell me what to do next. And when we went to our next session the following week, the counselor says that God had told her that she could not counsel us because we had went against God's will, because my future wife, or my wife at the time, wasn't my wife when she got pregnant. And I just backed away from counseling. You know, so counseling is it, dude. You know, if somebody's struggling with something, it's usually a story there. And you just have to be willing to explore it and just let her know that it's safe and you're willing to walk that path with her. You know, just like we go to doctors for medical issues, for those things in our past that are serving as barriers or challenges, we go get professional help for it. Mm-hmm. And that would be the one regret I had. Not to say that the marriage would still be on today. It's just looking back, that's one of the things I wish I had done different.
Hey, Carlos, in some of our past shows, and I'm glad you brought that up, we have talked about, you know, just like a mechanic, you go to a mechanic and that mechanic doesn't quite fix your car like you know that they were supposed to. You don't stop driving that car. You go and find an appropriate mechanic that you learn to trust, and, you know, because it's that important. And so I think that you are so, I think it's going to be so helpful for folks to hear. You know, sometimes you can get a bad counselor, or it could be, it could not be a good fit, but don't stop there, because the long, you know, what you're trying to achieve is so important. You can't let one person stop you.
I look at it like getting a medical, a serious medical procedure. You know, if you get cut on, it's going to hurt like heck for a while, and they're going to give you some medicine, but eventually it's going to heal. But most of the times when your body is invaded, it heals from the inside out more so than the outside in. And so it hurts for a while, and it's painful for a while. But if you're willing to stick to it and follow directions, it does get better. That's my experience.
Mm,
it don't feel good while you're going through it, though.
Thank you for that. That goes, we call it couch time. A little bit of couch time. A little bit of couch time.
Amen.
A little bit of couch time. Did you have any thoughts around that, Kenny?
No, I think he hit that on the head, actually.
One of the things that we admire greatly about these two men and men in general is, you know, once you hear someone hit it, you don't have to recreate it.
Yeah, no
reiteration
no
needed.
No reason to try to recreate the wheel. That brother did a great job. I'm going to let it go.
Awesome. That is really hilarious. I have to ask, you know, Tasha and I talk a lot about our faith and how it influences, you know, how we parent. Can you all give us just a little bit of, you know, what is it that helps to guide, you know, how you operate as far as a faith system or a belief system?
Kenny, you want to first shot at that one?
Yeah, I will jump on that one. I have to give a lot of credit on this to my wife, because she drugged me into the spiritual person, the spiritual household that I currently live and reside in.
Did you say she dragged you?
She had to actually drag me into it, because I was quite content doing me. and being happy with, you know, just that.
Right, right,
and I had to understand
right.
that there was something that's much bigger than myself. So
okay.
I give her credit for that. But in terms of how we live and how our spirituality kind of forms everything, I mean, it's the basis of all our relationships. I mean, the way that we interact with our children is based out of love, and that comes from our spiritual beliefs. The way that we have our children not only interact internally but external of this house and carry themselves, et cetera, and what they expect not only from, you know, and their expectations that they have not, you know, of themselves. I think that all ties into your spirituality and believing in something much greater than yourself. So I think it all kind of ties together in the sense of there is a, I mean, at the core of Christianity is a belief in helping one another. Right. And I think that we do a good job of extolling to our children that, you know, life is much bigger than yourself. And what are we going to do to actually, you know, make this place better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because each of our children react differently to that. But at least I think we're laying the framework and the foundation
mm-hmm.
that they can actually, you know, use their own talents to go with wherever they want to go with.
Mm-hmm. Kenny, I love that you said, and we actually had a comment from Albuquerque, New Mexico, speaks to, you know, one spouse having, the wife having, faith, is being faith-oriented and believes in church and Sunday school. And then the husband is saying, you know, he doesn't see it as important. But I was really glad to hear you say, and I don't know if you could talk to a little bit more, if you didn't talk about she drug you to church. She drug you to spirituality and
right.
into your relationship with God is what I heard you say.
Exactly. And I guess the best way to put it is that I grew up in a Christian household. So I had a foundation there and I had a belief system there, but I had no desire to actually, you know, step out on faith and learn more and, you know,
mm-hmm.
become deeper into the word, et cetera. And she helped me tremendously in that. All
mm-hmm.
I can say is that, I mean, the best teacher is one. I mean, you can talk to him up to somebody, especially a man. You can talk to a man until you're blue in the face, and he is not going to listen for the most part. After a while, he'll actually get turned off by that after a while. But the best example is to, you know, live your life in the way that, you know, that you want him to get to. So if you want him to go to church with you, go every day. Tell him about what you learned while you were there. Show him what, you know, what the values that have been, you know, extolled in you and how you, you know, bring that to the community. And, I mean,
mm-hmm.
the best teacher is, you know, seeing something and learning from one's example.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think you can go to that person and say you need to and set ultimatums and say you need to go here with me or our relationship isn't going to work. Because I can guarantee you that probably is not going to be a successful tactic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show them and use it by use your example and, you know, live a life that, you know, one that he might want to emulate, it might very well go the way that you want it to.
Great. Carlos, do you have a quick answer? I mean, well, kind of a quick insight, only because we have one other caller and I'm starting to look and see and our time is coming close to a close.
Yeah. Given my life has been full circle with my spiritual life. I was PK, so my stepdad's a minister, my uncle's a minister, my paternal grandfather's a minister.
That would be preacher's kid.
Preacher's kid, right. And so, of course, I'm not going to say all PKs, preacher's kids do, but I turn left rather than right. But I've started to make this walk back and improve my faith life. But Antonio really doesn't have a choice in it. I'm going back to my roots. And I was raised in the church, Baptist church, where you get up and you go to Sunday school, you go to morning service, you go in the back and you eat dinner, you go to evening service for years. And like I said, Antonio's mom is a minister. So between the both of us, we have committed to make sure that he has a faith life. And ultimately, he's going to choose for himself. And the young man really loves going to church. Amen.
Yeah, he gets God. Hey, listen, we've got a question from Canada. I've made lots of mistakes as a young father. I'm older now and trying to mend my relationships with my children. They are angry with me, rightfully so, but I'm older and changed. How can I be a part of their lives and that of my grandchildren? Wow, great question.
Mm. You know, I'm not That's even hard. Sure the answer to that. I have a lot of friends. My background history is I had a monumental battle with drugs and alcohol, and I'm just thankful that this year is my 19th year in recovery. So I
Yay.
Have an internal asthma to see me under the influence of drugs. So I don't know what this brother's challenge is that caused this chasm or division between his kids, but I've heard enough people in the 12-step fellowship I go to say you just pray for their forgiveness and you just continue to put one foot in front of another. And ultimate authority will take care of how you two folks end up interaction and engaging with each other, because God is the ultimate authority, my friend. And like I said, I know it doesn't feel good right now, but just continue to do positive things and just see if eventually, slowly but surely, you begin to win them back in your life.
Mm-hmm. 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 Carlos, I think, just again, thank you for sharing your sage. I got a quick question on my end on what if I grew up in a single-parent household mom, where do you get male direction? So if for those mothers out there who may be rearing sons, what would you suggest for them to encourage the success of that young man turning into a phenomenal father?
Well, I think the first thing I would do is maybe turn to the family system. Given all the challenges with traditional groups like the Boy Scouts and some of the other things that have traditionally been tasked with raising boys to men and some of the things that are going on in those systems right now, hopefully it would be the family system, either through a grandfather or a brother or an uncle. But the mom has to make a concentrated effort to try to put strong men in her child's life. And I'm really proud of the African-American brothers that are committing to mentoring now and not depending on traditional systems like you're going to put them in the Cub Scouts, in the Boy Scouts, you're going to do this, basically turning your child over to somebody else and you not know what's going on. But I just believe the family system, and hopefully there's a model there that you can ask for their help.
Well, Carlos, wouldn't you also say there are uncles, there are significance, Carlos and Kenny have both served as surrogate fathers at different times for my children. And in the way of providing and modeling and giving them attention that when their father wasn't able to, that they stepped in. And so I think that, I know through prayer, that these you two have manifested. And there's other males we were hoping to hear from because of Rick, awesome, just, father and fathers my children in the absence of their dad. And so I think that, really surrounding them with safe, secure, healthy people is really crucial. I do want to say a shout-out for the recovery community from Toronto, Canada. Someone has emailed in and said that they are 13 years in recovery. God bless you and keep it going.
Yes.
I agree with him. Just pray for them and continue to be positive word and action to them. Eliminate all negativity. So that's really cool. That's awesome. And that is, a topic that we are going to talk about is, the role of addiction and the challenges of addiction, but also the incredible blessing of recovery as we move forward. So maybe Carlos will come back to us and talk more on that. We've got about one more minute.
Right,
I love it.
Five.
I want to thank God and thank Kenny and Carlos and also the folks that are globally listening to us. It's just, it is so humbling. Tasha, I thank you for being in this walk with me. I think our God story has been these two incredible gentlemen talking to us today.
I know. This has just been awesome. And I think for our God story real quick, I posted the question on Facebook, what are some things that your dad